Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. We'll keep the energy even after your team lost. Unfortunate shortcoming against the Colts. We're going to get into that a little bit, talk a little bit about this Ravens matchup. We have my ESPN NFL Nation teammate, Jameson Hensley, coming on to talk some Ravens, and you know we're going to get into the rushing attack run. TMC, former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, comes on to do what we do, so I'm looking forward to that. High energy, that's that segment. You know, that needs to be sponsored by Red Bull or somebody, you know, to be honest with you. But we'll work on that.
Red Bull, Monster, Bang, take an energy drink of your choice.
Some Mountain Dew, you know, whatever.
That's where the heat's coming in right there. That's natural caffeine.
Yeah, and the Mountain Dew, they got that paper too. So we need to dip into
their advertising budget's pretty fat.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But I think this Colts game is something that we have to look at. And, man, I tell you what. The issues continue to surface, you know what I mean? And we continue to see things that are frustrating to us as media folks, to fans. It's frustrating to the coaches as well, to the players. And I thought it was really interesting how much DB coach Anthony Midget was under fire on the Zoom, because we got defensive coaches availability and man, it was like every other question was about press. But it is something that I think needs to happen a little bit more. Admittedly, they are working to get that done. Mike Vrabel actually said after the Colts game that going forward, they will look at doing more press. Anthony Midget explained about the down and distance really dictating that, and that's understandable. But at the same time, if it's fourth and two, I don't believe you're – and you have, a 1x3 set. We got three on one side. I don't believe the furthest out guy, Malcolm Butler, should be playing off, especially Malcolm Butler of all of your corners, because he is your best press corner, even when Adoree Jackson comes back, which he didn't practice on Wednesday. That's something to definitely keep in mind. But there was a fourth and two, Zach Pascal. He was number three on the inside. Ran a quick out, number two, had Desmond King lined up over top of him, and he kind of spotted up in front of the safety. And on the outside, T.Y. Hilton with Malcolm Butler on him just ran a go route just to open up space. And there was an exchange there, and, it was kind of tough for Byard and Desmond King to – maintain, I don't want to say maintain their assignments, but just to cover on that, and it ended up being a first down. And that was just one of the many times that the Colts, they converted three fourth down opportunities, three out of five. And granted, the Titans, for the most part, did a solid job against the Colts on third downs, but, you know, you had the fourth down situation rear its ugly head. And then on top of that, just the ability to run through zone was just – I mentioned back after the Steelers game, Eric Ebron lined up on the right side, ran a deep crosser route, ended up catching the ball just past the opposite hash mark. It was a 22-yard gain on third and 14. Later in the season, in this Colts game, you had Michael Pittman – He motioned. I could have it wrong. I'm going off of just closing my eyes and trying to picture it. But he was on the left side, and he ran a deep over route. It wasn't even a deep over. It was like a shallow crosser. And he passed through the zone. He was untouched. He caught the ball, turned up field. It was a 40-yard gain, and that was a key point in that game. And these are some of the things that – you see from a coverage perspective, And that's what's frustrating. And then when you have people say, you know, well, the guys up front aren't getting home. Hey, man, Phillip Rivers was throwing the ball from snap to throw 2.3 seconds. I'll say it again, 2.3 seconds. You could have Javon Kearse, Kyle Vandenbosch, Jarrell Casey, and Albert Haynesworth up front. We just went through basically an all-time Titans team. And you're still not going to get to the quarterback in 2.3 seconds. Mm-mm. That is where not only do you want to see more press, that's very true, but you want to see more disruption within the routes. You have 5 yards to – you could mug the mess out of a receiver within that 5 yards. Obviously, no hands to the face, but outside of that, like, you could really redirect them. It's something that they were doing in the first half of the Chiefs game last year, and it worked really well. I'm talking about the championship game. I don't know why they don't get back to that. And those are some of the things that they have to do. I think this week coming up against the Ravens, you're in a similar situation where, look, you could come up, and I know Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown is a fast receiver. I know that. But you can come up and get hands on him. He's even with the weight gain, you know, I would say he's probably a 180 or something like that. You could get hands on him and really slow him down and make Lamar Jackson have to come off of that read and work to others. I think that's something you have to do. Mark Andrews, you cannot, absolutely cannot let him run that seam route untouched. He has to be slowed down by the linebackers first, and if a safety's going to pick him up, you know, that exchange has to happen with some type of chatter within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. These are things that absolutely have to happen, you know. But then when you have a guy like Lamar Jackson, and the Ravens, they struggled against the Titans last year. And it's funny that we say they struggled because Lamar Jackson put together 500 yards of offense, but it wasn't enough. They struggled, and the Titans did a really good job last year. And obviously going into this game, I would imagine there are some similarities. But I got to ask Mike Vrabel just about how Lamar Jackson just changes things because of what he brings to the table. Here's what Vrabel had to say.
Well, I mean, I think that you prepare for option football with, you know, alignments and assignments. And obviously, you know, run to the football in the way that you, you know, tackle. But it's not all option football. You know, the runners, they play all three guys. You know, and Lamar is a huge part of what they do. So they're very good at running the football. And they use, you know, the quarterback as a large piece of that, having 90 carries. Now, some of those are scrambles and play extension, but, you know, it just comes down to alignment and assignment and obviously, you know, the execution.
And then last year when you guys faced them, it seemed like there was a focus on kind of condensing the field and reducing the space that he had to operate. Is that something that you've seen teams continue to do this year to slow that offense down?
Well, I mean, I think that the more space that you give really good players and athletes in this league, the tougher it is to tackle them. You know, you're either going to have to be really good tacklers or, you know, try to find a way to use the you know, the sideline to your advantage, knowing that it hasn't missed a tackle. So it's easier said than done. You know, I mean, there's times where, you know, they get north and south and gain a bunch of yards.
The sideline hasn't missed a tackle. That, as you heard, got a little chuckle out of me because it caught me off guard. I thought that was funny. But that's what you want to do. You want to condense the field, funnel everything to one side, and it's just like, I don't know. Let's say you're trying to trap a rabbit or a squirrel. You know what I mean? And if you had that squirrel or rabbit in an open field, you're probably not going to catch him. But if you're able to corner him and condense where he can run, you have a better shot. And that's exactly what the Titans did last year with Logan Ryan. And we actually drew that up. It was we drew that up right here in this studio, as a matter of fact, on the whiteboard. And that did really well for me on ESPN.com. But it's what you want to get back to this week. I just want to see just if they're going to spread things out a little bit more. But ideally what they did last year was take Logan Ryan, and he came off the edge. You had he was kind of had outside contained. You had then linebacker Kamale Correa, just no matter what happened, if it came to his side, he was hitting the quarterback. You know, and there's things that you were able to do to really literally cut the field in half. And that's what ended up happening. And it frustrated the Ravens, and they weren't really able to do the things that they wanted to do offensively. This is what the Titans have to do. And I think coming off of this loss, this humiliating loss to the Patriots, and then they had a loss to the Steelers as well. I think when you have a team that is in a funk and you humiliated them the year before, if you could get up early on them, you could really – You could do some damage psychologically.
Demoralize them, really.
Demoralize.
They start seeing, to quote Sam Darnold here, you start seeing ghosts. You know, you're going to have the same old thing that they would have experienced, you know, this past January, getting up 14-0 on them earlier, you know, something like that.
Yeah, it's like the DMX song, "Here We Go Again." You know what I mean? That's what you're thinking, like, oh, here we go again. You know, and I think that's really the importance of getting up. And then the other thing, if you get up to a lead, you get off to a nice lead, you could just turn around, get a ball to your tractor in the backfield, and just ride him to victory.
And do what you do best. You're allowed to be able to do what your strength is. And the one thing that you haven't been able to do in the last couple losses you've had.
And you just keep, as my wide receiver coach, Coach Jay, he was from Virginia, he used to always say, we're going to keep loading and loading and loading and loaded, and he would punch his fist. He would punch his hand, pound his fist into his hand every time he said load in the wagon. And that's what you want to just keep loading the wagon. Mm-hmm. And you have a few other guys that you could have extensions of the wagon with, you know, as far as Jeremy McNichols and Deontay Foreman. So really the bottom line, condense the field, get off to an early lead, ride Derrick Henry to the win. And that's what you want to do. There's no fans in the stadium. That's something that's out of the picture for the Ravens, the Eagles, I believe. There's another team, but Northeast is going through it a little bit with this COVID situation. And while we're talking about COVID, they did send a memo out. The league sent a memo out. All protocols have been intensified. So the protocols that teams like the Titans were under after the outbreak, that's the norm across the league. So that's something else to think about, you know, as we continue to roll through the season. We have been blessed to not have a game actually canceled because of COVID. We'll just continue to pray that it will be that way for the rest of the season. They're taking action.
Knock on wood. I mean, it hasn't happened yet. Knock on wood.
Yeah, they're taking action. Crossed. So let's keep the hope alive to – borrow Jesse Jackson's saying, let's keep the hope, but keep hope alive on this one. On that note, we're going to go to a break. Before we do, I need you to do something for me. Actually, a few things. If you haven't done it already, slap yourself, right? I want you to subscribe. And like I said, if you haven't done it, just put your hand out and just hit yourself. Yeah, that exactly. If you have, go ahead and rate. Review, appreciate you. We'll be right back.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byer, and I'm talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You know what we do each and every week, phone a friend. It's time for me to dial up one of my ESPN NFL Nation teammates. We're going to bring in Jameson Hensley, who covers the Ravens. So you're going to get the inside scoop. Jameson, how's it going?
Doing well. It's a little cold out here, so you know, let the Titans know it's definitely AFC North weather today. It was around 39 degrees and very windy at practice. So we had a really good spell of warm weather, but it looks like it's going to be a pretty chilly week here.
That plays into what the Titans want to do, and that's run the football. So I guess that will work possibly in their favor. We might as well start there, just with the defense. Brandon Williams, he has, I believe it's the ankle injury. Calais Campbell is out. Mm-hmm. What's the situation with Derek Wolfe? Because I know he left the game for a moment as well.
Yeah, Derek Wolfe is probably the only starter they believe is going to be able to suit up for this game. And overall, Tron, they haven't had really great overall depth as it is. Mm-hmm. When you have Clayus Campbell going down with a calf strain, he was gone last Sunday. He was inactive last Sunday. First time since 2014 he hasn't suited up. Then Brandon Williams only lasted 5 plays against the New England Patriots. So once those two guys were out, that's when New England they basically said, Cam Newton, you're just handing the ball off. The Ravens gave up 125 yards rushing to Damian Harris. That's the most yards rushing they've given up in the game since Derrick Henry went off for 195 against them in that playoff game. So there is some concern because you have Justin Ellis. He's been a journeyman. He's going to fill in and be the starter at nose tackle for Brandon Williams. You have a rookie third-round pick in Justin Madubuike, who's a high-effort guy. But still, I mean, he wears down after a while. He's going to be called on to replace Calais Campbell at the one defensive end position. And then you have Derek Wolfe on the other. After that, they might have to promote Aaron Crawford from the practice squad, but they're very, very thin along the defensive line.
Very interesting. And then looking at the secondary, I kind of skip over Patrick Queen because he's been playing well, and obviously he'll be healthy for this game. But in the secondary, Jimmy Smith, and this is someone that goes back to the days when I was covering the Ravens. He's still there, and he's going strong. But he's probably going to be out. How has that impacted what they like to do as far as the nickel defense is concerned? Because, I know Tremont Williams is a guy they brought in, but isn't that normally a spot that Marlon Humphrey operates from?
Yeah, and this is another position. I mean, they've been hitting so hard. And at corner, they've been hitting harder at corner than any other position as far as injuries. They just placed their 5th cornerback on injured reserve the other day. And, honestly, Tron, if you would have said, hey, 5 corners are going to go on injured reserve by middle of the season, I would have put big money on Jimmy Smith being one of them. Well, yeah. He missed last week's game. It's his first game he's missed all year. But still, they are decimated as far as corners. So you have Marcus Peters and Marlon Humphrey on the outside, and now they're just kind of scrambling to see who they can fill in as far as the nickelback role. Because, they would hopefully, under normal circumstances, they would put Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith on the outside. Marlon Humphrey would move on to the inside. But right now, they're just struggling to find any kind of bodies that they can put out there. And, I mean, you look at what they have at, corner. The only other healthy corner right now on the 53-man roster is Tremont Williams. And, I mean, he's 37 years old.
Yeah.
So you're hoping he holds up as well. But, again, not a lot of depth out there. So they're hoping to get healthier against, because they know the Pittsburgh Steelers will like to spread them out, and they have them on Thursday after playing the Titans on Sunday. They kind of feel like if they can get with 3 corners, that might be enough to go against the Titans. But still, cornerback is another position where they just don't have a lot of healthy bodies.
And that's crazy, because this is a team that plays, I think they're 9th in the league, playing 56%. Man defense, and to have the guys that you need.
Yeah. They love They love to get up in your face. They love to play, the bump and run. I mean, they love to play physical. And I think, if everything were being equal and they were healthy and they have a, big guy like Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey is another big guy, they love to play physical up there. Right now, they just, they got to worry because, they can't play too physical because they can't have another guy go down in that secondary.
Has that impacted? Because Coach Wink Martindale, there are times watching him, and it's like he brings all of Baltimore on the blitz. You know what I mean? So has that kind of impacted him as far as how much he's blitzing? Not being able to have that man coverage behind it.
Yeah, the past couple games they haven't been aggressive. Part of it, I think, is because they don't have. You have to trust the guys in the back end. If you're going to be sending a lot of guys up front, you're going to have to trust the guys in the back end. And I think because now with the injuries, they're not as they have to be very careful in that. Also, they traded for Yannick Ngakoue from the Minnesota Vikings. He also played for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They're hoping to have him on the outside along with Matthew Judon. And when you have those two guys crashing the edges, the hope is you don't have to blitz as much. But, Don Wick Martindale, he comes from the Rex Ryan tree, you know, the Ryan family, and they love the blitz. So I still think they are going to be aggressive in that. They're just not going to be as aggressive as they were earlier in the year.
I tell you, once Calais Campbell is healthy, you should really look into just the stunts and things that he and Ngakoue used to do in Jacksonville. That was just – they wreaked havoc. And I think that's what the Ravens were trying to get when they traded for Ngakoue. It's unfortunate that the injury can, you know, has happened. But I want to flip it over to the offense. And we're talking to Jamison Hensley, ESPN NFL Nation Ravens reporter. Switching to the offense, Marquise Brown, what has happened? I mean, this was a guy that was one of the most dynamic players last year. What has happened there?
Yeah, I mean, the plan was, and he looked fast and healthy in training camp. And when you have that kind of a threat on the outside and how much the Ravens run the ball, he's going to be kind of the guy that, you know, when you force defenses to drop the safety in and really stack the box, Hollywood Brown on the outside is the guy that is going to – you're going to take advantage, and you're going to make teams pay for really coming too close to the line of scrimmage. Lamar Jackson and Hollywood have just not been on the same page. And a couple of weeks ago, it was after Hollywood Brown only got two targets in a game. He tweeted out, hey, you know, if what's the use of kind of having soldiers when you don't use them? He then deleted the tweet after Coach Harbaugh contacted him about it. But still, you could sense the frustration that he feels he's not being used. But then you look at that last game against the Patriots. They threw the ball deep. It wasn't a great pass by Lamar Jackson, but it kind of faded on the inside. It was a deep sideline route. The ball kind of faded to the inside, but Brown doesn't even fight for the ball. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a guy that's saying, hey, I want the ball, you got to throw me the ball, well, when the ball's thrown to you, you got to do everything possible that whether you're going to make the play or you're going to stop the other guy from making the play, and that just isn't happening. So you've seen on the sideline, you know, Hollywood and Lamar talk about, you know, things, and it just seems like there's some kind of disconnect this year. And they need to get on the same page, because for this team to kind of get back on the track as far as offensively, they need those explosive plays. And the guy that can supply them is Hollywood Brown, and they want to throw the deep ball to him. They just don't know. I don't think there's a really enough trust from Lamar Jackson to really throw that ball deep to Hollywood Brown anymore.
And that's unfortunate, because I know they worked together during the offseason, and it's just something you would think that chemistry would carry over. But speaking of Lamar Jackson, last year's MVP, I still think he's playing solid football, but the going saying is, the league has figured Lamar out.
Right.
But I think it extends beyond just Jackson. I think that they're starting to figure out Greg Roman. I mean, is there something to that?
Yeah, and Lamar made headlines last week when he said, you know what, they go to the line and they hear defenders calling out their plays, because teams have kind of gotten onto their tendencies, and they know when they line up in a certain formation, they're going to run a certain type of play. And I do. I feel bad for Lamar, because you're the reigning NFL MVP. It's hard to match the expectations of what he did last year. I mean, it was a one-of-a-kind season, really. I mean, when you're rushing for over 1,000 yards, you're throwing for over 3,000 yards. It doesn't happen very often in NFL history. Mm-hmm. And for him to kind of repeat that, it was going to be a struggle. But now you have the offensive line with the Ravens.
Yes.
All-pro left tackle Ryan Stanley is done for the season. You have center Matt Skura, who's not playing as well because he was coming off a season-ending knee injury. Orlando Brown has now shifted from right tackle to, you know, left tackle. They really don't have anybody on the right side. So it really is a makeshift offensive line up front. Then you have Mark Ingram not playing very well. He's also banged up as far as being a former Pro Bowl running back. And then you have the wide receivers. And you see what they did in Arizona, and you see what they did in Buffalo. They traded for proven number one wide receivers, DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs. They didn't do that for Lamar. So he doesn't have the weapons on the outside. He doesn't have the blockers up front. Everything goes through Lamar right now, and I think the odds are stacked against him because – he just doesn't have the weapons around. The supporting cast is nowhere close to where it was last year. So you feel bad for Lamar because you know the talent is there. You just don't know if he has the people around him to really build on his strengths.
Yeah, and the thing that stands out to me is last year a lot of those big plays, they were in 13 personnel with the three tight ends. I asked Coach Harbaugh about that on the conference call, and he mentioned just they don't have the third guy. Well, you were in 22 a lot. And when I say you, I'm talking about the Ravens. We're in 22 a lot, and that's two tight ends. Now you don't have Nick Boyle either. So, yeah, there's a lot that Greg Roman has to figure out. But one thing that is good is – they still have the Wolfpack together, man. Justin Tucker, Sam Cook, and good old Morgan Cox. That's how long they've been together. It's amazing, and they're all Pro Bowl players. I think that's really impressive, and you could take us out on that note.
Yeah, I mean, they've been together since 2012, and when you have the most accurate kicker in NFL history in Justin Tucker, and you have a punter in Sam Cook who – has assortment of these punts that they, when they go off his foot, punt returners don't even know how with the spin on them and the backspin, they're difficult to return. And then you have Morgan Cox being a long snapper, and he's been to the Pro Bowl a couple times. So yeah, with what the Ravens do offensively, and they like to run the ball, they like to control the clock. Defensively, they like to take the ball away. A lot of times they're going to be close games, and the difference in these close games, a lot of times, is special teams. And the Ravens, that's what the Ravens feel like, they always have the edge on special teams because they have Justin Tucker, Sam Cook, and Morgan Cox. So, yeah, that is kind of the under the radar really X factors for the Ravens is on special teams.
And on the opposite side, when you think of the Titans special teams, the one thing you make this sound, oof. That's it. It's been bad. So on that note, we'll definitely get on out of here. Jameson, I appreciate you coming on. Always good to talk shop. Ladies and gentlemen, you can follow Jameson at Jameson Hensley, and that's with an N, H-E-N-S-L-E-Y. You know how to spell Jameson. And check him out, especially this week with all of the updates on your opponent, the Baltimore Ravens. Jameson, thanks again.
Hey, thank you, Tron. You have a good rest of the show.
For sure. Appreciate it.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
What are we? Yeah. All right.
Oh, man.
Run TMC.
Let's go.
Chris Sanders and me.
What's up, man? You good?
Oh, yeah, I'm good. And for those who want to nitpick, the broken English was intentional, so I know it's Chris Sanders and I. But either way, we're going to keep this thing rolling. The rushing attack is something that we have to get into.
Yes, sir.
So I'll let you kick it off. You got a little something for me, though?
Heck yeah, I got something for you. You know, it's Run DMC, okay? And basically, it's a name for Run DMC. So if you're a Run DMC fan, you got to sing a song with me. So I'm going to break it off to you. And you got to repeat it, or not repeat it, but just kind of
finish it up.
Finish the song, yeah. Together.
Forever. You stumped me.
Together, Run.
Oh, tougher than leather.
And we're tougher than leather.
Yeah,
we're
yeah. I don't remember
that.
Break
it. We're smashing and taking the deals for real. We can never be faking. I'm chilling. He's cooling. We're the king that's ruling. Come on, man.
I remember tougher than leather, but don't remember the lyrics.
Caught you off guard.
Me. Yeah, man.
Let's go, man.
Speaking of catching off guard,
yes, sir.
These injuries that the Ravens have piling up front, I think, are catching them off guard. Calais Campbell was brought in. Old Cookie Monster. He was brought in. His voice sounds just like him.
Right.
He was brought in to slow this rushing attack down that the Titans have. And other teams, obviously. But then they doubled down. Derek Wolfe was signed. Brandon Williams was already there. All three of these guys have injury situations. Brandon Williams didn't practice. He has the ankle. Calais Campbell is very unlikely. I believe he's still on IR. And then you look at Yannick Ngakoue. They got him as well. And it was to work the tandems that they used to work against the Titans so much. So when you look at this Ravens defense, mm-hmm. who also drafted Patrick Queen
That's
in the
crazy,
first round.
Yeah.
Like, they really were like, hey, look, you gonna stop running the ball on us. That's basically what they said.
Yeah.
So looking at this defense, especially after last week against the Patriots, a buck 70 plus, what's the deal?
It ain't gonna matter. And the reason why I say this is because this team has an identity of being playing a physical football. They love playing physical football, and they love to hit you in the mouth. You know, I know the injuries that you named. You know, some of those guys might not be in there, but I think they're still going to have the same attitude.
Right.
I mean, I know that sounds like football and cliché-ish, but it's kind of like the Pittsburgh Steelers. You have different names, but why are they still physical all the time? It's because of the identity of the team. And when you look at the Baltimore Ravens, even though they have a lot of guys out and even though they have a lot of guys that are injured, I'm going to tell you something, they're still going to bring the heat because they took a bad loss with the Colts.
Yeah, yeah, they took a bad loss, and it was one in which – I think they could have run the football a little bit more. So when you look at that performance against the Colts, you look at what Derrick Henry was able to do. I believe it was another 100-yard rushing performance, but they lost.
Yeah, I know.
And I know people like to correlate the 100 yards to winning the game, but Henry, is there some meat left on the bone as far as not giving him enough opportunities?
I mean, okay, you know, I know we want to give him a lot of opportunities, but there's still a lot of ball to be played.
Yes.
I mean, if you just keep giving him the rock like 30 and 40 times a game, he's going to wear down.
Yep.
I don't care how big you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how big your frame is. A guy that I looked up to that I played with at The Ohio State University and for the Tennessee Titans, Eddie George. I thought Eddie George was Superman. I'm like, this dude will never get worn down. And the more carries he took, the more hits he took, he started to wear down. And the good thing about the Tennessee Titans, they have that three-headed monster. It takes a little bit of pressure. You know Henry's going to get his carries. You got McNichols that comes in with a change of pace. And then you got Foreman who can do some things in the backfield and also catch the pass out of the backfield. So we don't need to put all the pressure on Henry. Just give him his carries and let him stay fresh by putting other guys in there.
What's the sweet spot for carries for him, Will, would you say?
I would say from 25 to 30.
Okay, I was going to go 20 to 25.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, 25 to 30, I think, is – and we could even call it touches, right?
Yeah,
because you could get him the ball out of the backfield. That should be ideal, you know, 25 to 30 touches. And if a guy like
that's
that touches the ball that many times, you're bound to get a 50 to 60-yard breakaway in them. So you're just increasing your own chances. But
yeah.
We mentioned the three-headed monster on the other side of it. Well, they have a four-headed monster.
That's what I was about to say, man.
Yeah, you
come
have
on.
To count Lamar because Lamar Jackson.
Dude.
That's 11-on-11 football.
Man, they got. I was just gonna say that's funny that you said that. We on the same page. They got a three-headed monster. The Titans got a three-headed monster. They got Ingram. They got Dobbins from the Ohio State, and then they got Edwards. I mean, them some dogs now.
Yeah,
they gonna hit you square in the mouth. They gonna be physical. You don't think that Ingram is licking his chops about what happened in the playoffs last year? You don't think he wants this game? You don't think that Lamar Jackson has circled his wagons and be like, listen, I want this. So they're going to come physical. They're going to make plays.
And it's funny because on Wednesday when Lamar Jackson spoke, he said, oh, it's not a revenge game. It's you know, it's
sure.
Just like, but, hey, look, you know the competitor that's within going to definitely take that loss personal. And, hey, it's – time for the big payback, and that's what they should be looking for on Sunday. I just wonder, I mean, can this Titans offense, like, can they really get back on track against the Ravens, their top three scoring defense in the league?
I think they can. And the key, if you look at the games that they lost to Cincinnati and they lost to the Colts. But if you look at Cincinnati, the reason why they didn't win that game, I mean, they were moving the ball, is because of turnovers.
Yeah.
You can't have turnovers in the red zone. You can't have fumbles. You can't have interceptions. You can't have things like that against a good team. You know, and it just boils down to that. And I think with the Tennessee Titans, we say this is like the same song. And I'm going to ask you a question. If I put on the same record, what am I going to get?
The same sound.
I'm going to get the same song. And the same song is we got to start fast. We got to get Henry the ball. And we got to do this. And you got to just do it. You can't just say it. You have to do a feed 22 to give the ball once in a while to A.J. Brown and feed Davis. That's the formula for success right there.
So, you know, the first 15 or so plays are scripted. Are you saying Arthur Juan Brown, he needs to catch it. But, no, Arthur Smith, are you saying that Arthur Smith is – someone that needs to put more running plays in that first 15 to kind of feel things out? Or are you saying that once you work through that, then start loading the run?
I mean, I agree with you, but I don't think they want to be so predictable that they know they're going to run the ball. It's just like this. I know when the Titans are going to run the ball. It's always the second series. The second series, they run the ball, and I don't care what you do. Yeah, you got to mix it up, but you got to set the tone of we're going to run the ball through your face. We're going to throw the ball when we want to, and that's the identity of this football team. Because the reason why the Tennessee Titans have been starting off slow is because they're getting a lot of three and outs. Yeah. And when you get a lot of three and outs, you have no rhythm. You know, you don't have rhythm passing the ball. You don't have rhythm running the ball, and that's exactly what's happened with the Tennessee Titans. This is what I'm doing. If I'm the coach, I'm not deferring. I'm taking the ball. And I'm running it. I'm getting 7 points off the back. That's just how we're handling it.
Hmm.
There it is.
So you just
not there it is. There it is.
Right from the jump. Hey,
from
look,
the jump.
Man. We're gonna muscle up, shoot a shoe, and run through you.
That's it. Dude, that sounds like a song. That's a Run DMC song right there.
No doubt about it.
No doubt. But that's what you got. That's the identity of this team. You know, it's running the ball, play action, and we throw the receivers once in a while. That's the makeup of their team. So when you start getting away from that and you start playing catch up, that's why we've been looking at the games that they played against Pittsburgh and they played against the Texans and the Colts. It's because they were out of rhythm.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. They're falling out of rhythm, and I think it is time for them to go back to what has worked for them, which is running the football. But you do have to be careful not to force it, like you said. How about the play action, though? Because I would imagine finding success running the ball, that's going to help the guys on the outside. So where are we there?
I mean, we're going to have to do play action. But, you know, teams are smart. Defensive coordinators are smart. And they're going to take it away. Because if you look at when they played against the Colts last week, Tannehill tried to roll out on a play action. And there was somebody waiting in his face. And he lost 8 or 9 yards. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to come up with a game plan to where it's not so predictable. Okay, now we're going to run play action, and we're going to boot a naked boot by himself and have somebody wait. Arthur Smith has got to be creative and figure out ways to do the play action but not get his quarterback hit.
And when I say where are we there, I'm talking about you and I, right? Not talking about the Titans. But as far as your idea, your viewpoint, your mindset, are they doing play action too much or what's –
I don't know if it's too much. I just think, and this is my opinion, this is no disrespect to Arthur Smith, I think sometimes it becomes predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And when it starts to become predictable, then all of a sudden there's going to be a guy in Tannehill's face because they know that you're going to do it. I mean, if you look at some of the games they played earlier in the year, they started out with play action, and then they ran the ball. Now defense are going to look at that, just kind of mix it up a little bit and do play action when the defense doesn't expect it.
I think they need to get play action out of shotgun. And, you know, I'm not talking about full quarterback turning his back to the line. I'm talking about just kind of like almost like RPOs, right? You know what I mean? And heck, they could even utilize RPOs as well.
Yeah.
Something. Because when you have a guy like Derrick Henry that impacts defenders so much, you have to – use that against a team. And, I mean, this Ravens team, they have rookie linebackers. You know, Malik Harrison, he's from your establishment as well.
Okay, it is.
But he and Patrick Queen, both of these guys, they're rookies. So they're not exactly sure, you know, what it's going to be like going against Derrick Henry. So you know what it is. They're going to try to come downhill, and you can move them and make plays in the passing game that way.
Yeah, but the only thing about the shotgun and you try to do play action is the linebackers can actually see what's going on in the backfield. And I'm explaining it to you in a minute. You remember Peyton Manning, right? When he was under center and he would run towards the running back like he was giving on the ball, and then he'll pull it out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The linebackers can see it when you're in shotgun. So they know, okay, if Derrick Henry gets it, he's not going to have enough speed to come downhill. So we know he's not going to get it. So they'll just play pass coverage. That's the only thing about shotgun. But if they get under center and Tannehill shows the rock and then pulls it out quick, then linebacker's going to take one step up and let's go over top and let's eat.
Yeah, I agree with you. Excuse me. Agree with you that they could see that. Mm-hmm. I just wonder just the element of the ball being placed into his belly, if that's going to make them just take that one step forward. You know what I mean? That would open it up. But, I mean, it's an excellent point about them being able to read. That's the next level type of stuff that we're looking for.
Yes, sir, man. I mean, that's what it's all about. Because if you look in the backfield, all it is eye candy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just to flip sides to the Baltimore Ravens, we gonna struggle with that because they do all that misdirection stuff and guys in motion and who has the ball. You mess around and you think that Dobbins or Ingram has the ball, you're going to look up and Jackson going to be in the end zone dancing while you're still following Ingram. mean, you know what I'm saying? Those are the kind of things. Those are the kind of things. And it's all in the backfield. All it is eye candy.
I want to see just how they approach this game because
it's going to be crazy.
I got to talk to John Harbaugh on the conference call, and you know, last year this team they used so much 13 personnel because they had Hayden Hurst, but they don't have. And I asked them, you know, was it a personnel thing, or you know, what is it that has you guys not using 13 as much? And he said it. We don't have the third tight end. Well, guess what? They don't have the second tight end now either because Nick Boyle is out for the rest of the year.
Wow.
They used a lot of 22 with Patrick Richard, and he essentially was the pseudo. He kind of filled what Nick Boyle was, as Nick Boyle filled what Hayden Hurst was.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yep, but I want to see how they adjust that because here's the deal: if Greg Roman wakes up, and understands that he has dynamic players like Devin Duvernay and Roche, these are guys that could. You look at Snead, he's leading the league in yards after catch.
These
are all guys that could get you free yards. Spread it out. Let Lamar get him in space.
Yeah, but you know the reason why they're struggling on the offense? Because there's no identity on this. So what's the identity? Mm-hmm. Are they a run first? Are they a pass? I don't know.
They don't have one.
They don't have no identity. It's just, okay, we're going to do a little bit of eye candy, you know, have some misdirection stuff, and then hope. You know, Jackson runs for a touchdown. Well, I mean, that's only going to get you so far. Yeah, Lamar's going to get 100-something yards, but you're going to look up and you're going to have a loss like you had against the Patriots because there's no identity of this team.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we're going to beat the Titans are going to beat them is because, yeah, they're hurt, but there is no identity on this Ravens offense or this Ravens defense.
No doubt about it. Well, hey, listen, man, it doesn't get much – more clear than that. And folks, this is why we bring you Run TMC to be like sharks and go deep on the Russian attack. You know how we do.
Hey, I'm still mad at you, dog. You like, man, I'm a Run TMC fan. You ain't know. You, man, you was thinking of Billy Ocean or something. You don't want no
it's Billy
Run
Ocean.
DMC. You're a Bill Queen.
Nah, I was thinking of Gregory Abbott.
Oh, Gregory, did you say Gregory Hines?
Gregory Abbott. Shoot.
Boy, you a fool, man. Well, you my hero, big dog.
Likewise, man. Appreciate
you, man.
Back next week.
Yes, sir.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
All right, the group home. Superstar. That's what the Titans need. They need some superstars to play like superstars. You know, Derrick Henry, Jadeveon Clowney, and more. This playoff picture is jam-packed. It's nuts because who would have said after week 5 when the Titans were 5-0, who would have said that the Titans in, four more games would be on the outside of playoffs looking in? However, that's where they find themselves right now. The Titans and Browns are 8-9 in the AFC. You got the Ravens, Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins.
Don't sleep on them. They are turning into form, and they're winning games despite their quarterback doing a lot. So if he starts doing a lot, they are going to be a problem.
Those are your wild card teams right now, and the Raiders as well. So I think we need to look at this. Let's take a look here. So the way the seeding goes right now, the Steelers, they're 9-0. That's the number one team. The Chiefs are 8-1 as the two. As of this season, with the adjusted playoff picture, the Steelers are the only team that has the bye. Yeah, the bye is something that you want. We know that. But looking at last year and how the Titans went in and made M&T Bank Stadium, Nissan Stadium, mm-hmm. after the Ravens had the bye. Yeah, it's important to have it, but it's not always the end-all, be-all. I'll say that. So those are your top two seeds. The Bills are on top of the AFC East at 7-3. The Colts are on top of the AFC South at 6-3. The Titans have a date with the Colts in 2 weeks. These two games are really important that they have coming up. The Ravens, you know, and Colts 6-3, Dolphins 6-3, Titans 6-3, and Cleveland Brown are 6-3. Let's take a look at the schedules remaining, and we will start with the Colts. Why? Because what you want to do is win a division. You win a division, you guarantee your host a playoff game. Not that that is all that big of a deal because of how COVID-19 has impacted us, so you won't have – I mean, imagine, that would really be terrible. Hosting, mm-hmm. finally getting that playoff game at Nissan Stadium, but only 11 to 14,000 fans could come. And that's provided that everything remains the same and doesn't get worse, which is trending in the wrong direction. However, let's look at this. The remaining games for the Indianapolis Colts, they have a – let's see here. They go to Green Bay. So mm-hmm. a Titans win over the Ravens, Colts lost to the Packers. All is well in Nashville again. However, after the Packers, they host the Titans. Then you have a gimme game against the Texans. I'm not necessarily going to call that a gimme game, though, because it's a divisional game. But, I mean, all things considered, okay. After the Texans, they have the Raiders, who are one of the other teams in the mix. Mm-hmm. So this is something that you're going to see happen, crossover. You know what I mean? And that's going to happen, I believe, there's another team, but we'll get into that in a moment. But after the Raiders in Vegas, they have the Texans at home. Then they go to Pittsburgh. There's another really tough game. And then you have the Jaguars to finish the season. That will be interesting seeing how that one works. Let's go to the Raiders. We'll go there next because that's a wild card team. And the Raiders – their next game is going to be
Kansas City
against
on Sunday
the
night.
Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a tough one. Then they go to Atlanta. They go to New York. Those games, or actually to Jersey, right, if you want to be particular. But either way, they face the Jets. And then from there, they have the date with the Colts. That is a good opportunity to, as we mentioned, see some crossover. Then you have the Chargers, the Dolphins. So you're getting some of these teams canceling each other out, which should work in the Titans' favor. Bottom line, the Titans just have to win. That's really what they have to focus on. And, I mean, it sounds cliche, but, you know, control your own destiny and do the best thing you could do to get yourself in position to make the playoffs. And that's win. Just win, baby.
And they have a good chance to do that and also knock out another team. If I'm not mistaken, they play the Browns later in the season, too.
Yeah, we'll get into the Titans schedule in a moment. But since you mentioned the Browns, we'll go right to the Browns. And the Browns are going to face the Eagles. That should be a win for them. The Eagles are not playing good football, but
they might host a playoff
they
game.
They may host a playoff game. 3-5-1 or 3-6-1, whatever they are. You got the Jaguars. And then the matchup here in Nashville that you mentioned with the Titans. After that, you got the Ravens in Cleveland, but here it is, canceling each other out. Mm-hmm. Back-to-back against they have back-to-back trips to MetLife Stadium to face the Giants and then the Jets. Then they finish the year going against the Steelers. So that's quite a schedule for them. Moving on to the Ravens, we know the date with the Titans this week, then Thursday, they will have the Steelers Thanksgiving Day. You have Dallas, Cleveland, Jacksonville, New York, and then Cincinnati. And as you saw a few weeks ago, Cincinnati is no pushover. So that'll be a game to watch as well. We'll finish off with the Miami Dolphins. They have the Broncos, the Jets, the Bengals, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Raiders, and the Bills. So I wanted to go through those schedules before we look at what the Titans have. And, you know, there are some tough games for the Titans on the on this docket as well. I don't know that their schedule is the toughest out of all of the remaining, you know, teams in playoff contention, because I mean, if you look at this, you got the Ravens, the Colts, the Browns. Those are three opportunities to really control, really seize the moment and take control of the opportunity in front of you. Then they go to Jacksonville. Detroit comes here. Now, this game is the tough one at Green Bay. And then you finish off with the Texans. So I think it's kind of a wash. Really what the Titans have to do is concern themselves with this game and the next two. Those are the make it through that. If you can make it through two games against the Colts, one against the Ravens, one against the Browns with one loss, I think you're in really good shape. If you can make it through with two losses, you're still in solid shape. But obviously, the more you win, the better. And it's just one of those things. And I think Kevin Byard, he said it best when he was asked about the now being the time to make that move. And he was right. Here's what Kevin Byard had to say when he was asked about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's now and never. Coach Vrabel always does a good job around this time of the year showing us a horse race. And you know how those horse races are, pretty much three quarters of the whole race. You know, those guys are really bunched up and you can't really tell who's going to win the race. And that's kind of what the AFC looks like right now. You have the Steelers was obviously undefeated, but you have some teams that 7-1 or 6-3. You got like six and three teams. And I think we're going to have to take this time to be as now and ever to try to break away from the bunch. I think around this time of the year or just in the midpoint of the season, teams are going to make decisions. They're either going to keep going up or they're going to go down. And we've had a tough stretch of four games where we lost 3 out of 4. And we need to make sure we get that fixed so we can go ahead and try to put our best foot forward and make sure that we're, you know, on the right track to try to get into the playoffs and make a run.
There you had it right there. Get things on track, make a run. Well, get to the playoffs and make a run. And that's what the Titans did last year. And I get it, right? Last year was last year, but, you know, you compare the two situations, they're in a much better situation this year. And then just understanding that even at 6-3, granted the expectation level is different, but still, it's not over. There's still plenty of games left. There's a great opportunity for the Titans to make a move. They're going to have to get the special teams right. You have to get the defense right. You got to get your offense together to where it's able to continue to mask some of the things. But, I mean, when you get a punt blocked, you shank one, you give the team the ball at the plus 30-yard line and then a touchdown, like it's – and it was actually plus 27 because it was inside your own 30-yard. Like you can't win that.
Missing way. Field goals, we have a chance to make it a 2-score game.
Missing field, you're not going to win that way. Mm-mm. That's why when we had Jameson on and I asked him about the special teams and you know that's the one thing you say about, oof, gotta get that better. And that's something that I don't know if these issues defensively and special teams wise could be fixed like that. But you did see the Chiefs just kind of come together last year and get that defense going. It did start in week 9. We're beyond week 9, but you know, that's something that they're going to have to figure out. Cause especially a team like this, that prides himself on defense, some things have to get fixed and we'll see how they continue to adjust to that. Adoree Jackson, at some point, we would imagine will return, but we'll just have to see. Breon Borders has played solid football in this place, but obviously he's no Adoree Jackson. Offensively, they have to turn some things around. And I think while we're on the offense, I'm going to have to get a little bit of music because, you know, I don't normally do this, but balance has to be – it has to happen. So, Too Short, what's up, man?
Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle.
Ooh. All right. So many times on this show, I have sung the praises of one AJ Brown. And you know what? I have to be balanced, right? I can't, you got to take the good with the bad, right? And I'm blowing the whistle on number 11 this week. I get it. sometimes things will happen and your eyes will come off the football, but you are on the verge of being one of the elite receivers in this league. I got to blow the whistle because that drop happened. And he did an excellent job getting off the ball, fighting through the contact from Xavier Rhodes, and getting position, and he was able to leave that space for the ball to drop in and just didn't finish the play. So, A.J. Brown, I'm blowing the whistle on you. That doesn't mean that, you know, I don't feel you're still a top-level player. You just got to get right. So, that's the whistle for this week, man. If I could blow the whistle on A.J. Brown, mm-hmm. I'll blow it on anyone because you guys and girls know how I feel about A.J. Brown. But it is what it is. The truth has to be spoken.
Yeah, and that's the one that we've talked about, too. We've had this discussion where, like, what separates A.J. Brown from being a really good receiver to being one of the elite receivers, to being in that category with, you know, DeAndre Hopkins and Julio Jones, Michael mm-hmm. Thomas. We know that that's a different level. And I think the biggest thing that we've talked about is just the consistency, is be able to follow up some of the games like he had against the Bears where he makes that incredible catch to get that touchdown to kickstart the offense and eventually kickstart the win 1 week, and then dropping that pass against the Colts that was really meaningful the next. It's just the consistency thing. And if you want to be able to be in that tier, those are the catches you got to make, and that's something he's going to learn at this point of his career. You'd rather him do it, I guess, now and then maybe get it out of the way and have him grow towards it later, but you have those sometimes with young receivers.
Yeah, and it's still early, so we'll see how things continue to evolve. But, yeah, he does need to be more consistent. So I think it's probably on point to get out on that note. The Titans and Ravens is a game that will obviously have playoff implications, so stay tuned. I'm looking forward to it. I know you are. We'll be back next week to talk some more shop. So until then, God bless and good night.